So I'm sure a lot of you remember the days of drinking box wine on your gap years, otherwise referred to as the almighty goon. It seemed to be a teenager's go-to means for not only having a fun night, but a very cheap one. So think box wine is just for a cheap plonk? Well, think again. Lalo is the premium box wine brand that creates products you'd be proud to have on your countertop. Co-founders Laura Richies and Laura Rosenberger source their wines directly from the small-scale independent producers that they know and love. And because it's packaged in a box, you can enjoy the occasional glass, fresh up to 6 weeks from opening. Now, I never used to be a big wine drinker, but Lalo has got me officially hooked, and I often find myself twizzling my nozzle on my Lalo box. It also happens to be better for the planet, generating 90% less carbon than the equivalent volume in bottles, which is so important now more than ever. Their first wine is a Trempanillo, please excuse my horrible accent, made by Ruth and Ana de Andres. It's in a box inspired by tiled Rioja tapas bars and is already winning fans, including MasterChef judge William Sitwell. So please, please go online and use the code INSIDEOUT for £5 off your first order. You can find all the details at DrinkLalo on Instagram. I promise you, you're going to love it. It's going to look fab in your house and your family going to love it. Go on, drink some Lalo. Thanks, Lalo, for sponsoring the podcast. Hello and welcome back to season two of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Florey, a stripped back podcast that celebrates everything and anything taboo. This season, I'm joined by a range of amazing guests who open up, delve in at the deep end and share their own inspiring stories. Each guest's own journey is completely unique and together, through the power of real lived experiences, they help me teach those all important lessons you didn't actually learn in school. I didn't actually believe that Wonder Woman existed or was a real life human until I met today's guest. In this episode, I'm joined by former Olympic triple jumper, superstar mom, and just generally one of the world's biggest babes I've ever met, Michelle Griffiths Robinson. She is nothing other than a ball of contagious energy, and she joins me in an honest conversation on balancing determination, drive, and simply being human. The story of how she met her husband is by far the best thing I've ever heard, and it really proves my theory of if you don't ask, you don't get. I know this one's going to make you smile. So hello, Michelle. It's so nice to have you on, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It really means the world.
Pleasure, my sweetheart. My absolute pleasure.
So I think I have lots I want to talk to you about.
Let's do
it. And lots of different walks of life. Let's get into it. But let's just start and go straight into kind of your career as an Olympian and how that really came about.
So I really started my athletics career age 11 from Wembley, coming from an Afro-Caribbean family with three older brothers and myself. They didn't want to look after me typically on a Sunday morning. So my mum said to me, you've got to come down the track because there's no one to look after you. She was going to do a fitness class and I just so happened to go along and I was bored watching her doing Rocky Boat Baby. So she said, go over there. And I went over to a group of people that were doing a little bit of training. And my mum still says today that was the best pound she's ever invested in me. And that's where it started, yeah.
So you fell in love with it from the get-go?
Yeah, it was something that I was naturally very good at, to be honest with you, Susie. I was always somebody that did a lot of running, you know, with my brothers and playing outside, so much more than kids do nowadays. We were always outdoors. And I think it was then it became like a group of people that you'd meet on a regular basis, and it was fab.
I think that's the thing. I want to go more into kind of the in-depth of that, but I just want to start by asking you about three brothers, because I can imagine, I always believe in family dynamics, and I have two brothers myself.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a bit of character building. I don't know if you'd agree.
At 100%, I really do agree with you. It is very much character building, especially being the only girl as well, and three older brothers, and the youngest, I should say, rather than the only girl. Being the youngest as well, the dynamics are very different. And I've got a lot to thank my brothers for, to be honest, because, you know, they made me stronger, faster, being able to be resilient, you know, because, you know, they would be very honest and upfront, like, oh, stop your noise, stop whinging, get on with it. you know, all those type of things that, you know, sometimes people are a bit more fragile in saying, but actually the reality is it helps you build resilience.
And do you think that that's obviously had a massive effect on you and your career as well, and you having the drive to push forward?
Absolutely. My youngest brother, Sean, was also a professional goalkeeper for Watford as well. So my other two brothers were very sporty. So, you know, we came from that active type of family. And it's definitely helped me push on in my career because, you know, it has allowed me to be stronger, to cope with stuff.
Well, you were the first woman to jump over 14 metres in the triple jump, which is amazing. How did that feel in that moment?
So it was 1994 in Sheffield, and I was the first ever woman to jump over 40 metres in the Commonwealth. And you know, I think when you talk about breaking barriers and breaking boundaries, that's all we really want to do. And I often put it back to breaking your own boundaries and own barriers, you know, rather than comparing it to somebody else. And to be honest with you, Susie, it felt amazing, you know, to be able to say that. And even now, late 40s, I can still say I was the first ever woman to do something. And, you know, and it allows me to pass that message on to others as well. You know, be the first person to do something, but be your own first, you know, be your own first. And I think that's the important message. So it felt great. It's a legacy that still lives on now. But, you know, it's given me the confidence, you know, the confidence to keep pursuing and keep going and keep pushing forward.
And do you think you always had that confidence? Because I remember you saying that you kind of said to your mum, "Mum, I'm not doing university." And you really, I don't know, did you have a gut feeling that this was kind of the right thing for you?
It's when you're talking about doing the first again, I have to just bring it back a little bit. So I would have been the first person in my family to go to university, you know, which was, again, being one of the first. So that comes with sometimes with a lot of pressure. And expectations of others as well, you know. So, you know, I wanted to be the first person to go to university. I think for my family, they wanted that to be the first, you know, I was bright enough to go, so why am I not going? So, but I went because it's something that they felt I should have done. I was very capable at languages, but it wasn't my passion. It was something that I was very good at. You know, I did very well in my GCSEs, my A-levels in it. So it's almost like a natural progression. But if you're talking about something that was my passion, it possibly wasn't my passion, Susie, you know, and that's probably why after 18 months of a four-year degree, I dropped out of it because it wasn't my passion. Whereas I maybe should have done something. And I did get scholarships for Loughborough, UCLA, Arkansas, USC, you know, in America. And I turned them down, you know, to stay here and, you know, quite a home bird as well. And, you know, so it's only since I've been with my husband, really, that I've managed to venture out and say, you know, leave home, so to speak, move away from my family more. So, you know, comes with all different challenges, I guess.
And what did your mum say when you told her that you were going to leave uni?
My mum, I actually use this conversation when I'm doing some motivational talks, and I say, my mum says in the strongest Jamaican accent, "What do you mean you dropped out of university?" And I said, mum, you know, it's not for me. And so her biggest concern was, well, what are you going to do? And I think that's such a profound question. What are you now going to do? Because what options are you left with? And the fact that I was then able to say to her and my stepdad, look, give me 6 months to get myself a job and get myself back on my feet again. You know, so that gave me options. And they created those options by giving me a time span. And as a life coach now, I often say to people, you've got to put a time on something, because otherwise it's just willy-nilly. It's just pie in the sky, you know. And even the facts of back then, which I didn't realise, my mum said, right, OK, well, we'll give you 6 months. And it gives you a time frame to get yourself together and get your shit together. Excuse my language. You know, okay. 6 months. It gives you enough time to, right, OK, this is where we're at. So, you know, she was disappointed, Susie, I've got to be honest. She was disappointed, but she then realised this has got to be my dream and my journey, not hers. And consequently, she went on and got 2 degrees, my mum did. But, you know, that's by the by.
That's the thing. I think there's such a pressure. I speak about this a lot. And for young people, especially now, to conform to society's norms and go to university. And actually, people sort of lose confidence in their passions as a result of feeling like they should do something.
Absolutely. And I think that the one thing, you know, I say to, I'd work a lot with young people with the Dame Kayleigh Holmes Trust and, you know, through my life coaching, my coaching in education, I do a lot of stuff with young people. And I often say to them, you will find your true passion and commit to that passion if it belongs to you, if you own it. If it's coming from somebody else, you'll just go along with it, you know, and who wants to just go along in life? Life's too damn precious. Don't just go along. Yeah. Do something that makes you feel great, something that makes you want to bounce out of bed in the morning 9 out of 10 times. You know, do something. And I think that is, you know, got to be a strong message out there, Susie.
I think that's so important. And I think people are kind of discouraged to follow their passions and their dreams because of, you know, it's not the right thing, or maybe mum and dad aren't supporting you, and that's really tough.
Yeah.
And I think as well, people look at other people's careers, like maybe yourself, and go, oh, you know, I'm sure she just had sponsorship from the get-go because she was super talented and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But I don't know if what your situation was, but I presume that's different. Like, you had to put the graft in, you had to balance getting sponsorship and then training and doing other things. Isn't that why you took up personal training too?
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. I mean, you know my backstory because I've shared that with you before today. And, you know, it's not that easy that you just, you know, you're very talented and everyone's going to want to sponsor you. They got to see why. Why should we invest in you? You know, and it was very much an objective thing. Right. Well, if you jump this, then it looks like then you'll get more TV exposure. So then we will invest in you. You know, so I was sponsored by, you know, all the top sponsors out there. Nike, Lucozade, Nabisco, the whole lot. Jordan cereals. I've had them all. But it was about having to show your how good you were, show your value, you know, before yeah. you got these sponsorships. And you had to go out and seek. And, you know, ironically, when I did drop out of university, when I sent off the 10 letters I sent off, and the one that came back was from DHL. Which was a courier company, and I was very, very fortunate to secure a sponsorship with DHL. That 4.5 years they sponsored me. 4.5 years they sponsored me, you know, and they'd never gone into any form of sponsorship before, other than motor racing, because they were big on motor racing, DHL. So the fact that they, you know, they took a bet on a little triple jumper from Wembley was just flipping awesome, you know, and I'm and even now I'm very, very grateful for it, because it was life changing for me. They allowed me, by giving me that extra bit of income, they allowed me to go and train without not the money worries and the concerns of, oh, you know what, you know, where am I going to get my rent from? Where am I going to buy food from? And I worked for them 20 hours a week. Again, I like structure and routine. Everybody that knows me knows that. So 10 till 2, Monday to Friday, I worked for DHL. That's where I learned my basic skills of customer service. I then wanted to do marketing. You know, I learned a lot of tricks of the trade, and I learned life from DHL, but at the same time, they gave me the income that I could go off and go and train, get physio, and, you know, in the end, pursue my journey and my dream to become an Olympian.
I think that's such an interesting point you made, because so many people are scared of asking for things in case they get rejected or whatever it might be. And actually, like you've just said, this amazing company, they took a bet and a chance on you, and you'll never forget that. And now you'll be giving that back to other people.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely, Susan. I agree. I'm never fearful. I say it to people all the time. What's the worst that somebody can say to you? No. And no means next opportunity.
I love that. That's such a good
No means next opportunity. Okay, let me go and try somewhere else. Because there will be one person that says yes.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. It's just focusing. And also, like, as you said, life is too short. If you don't go after what you believe and, you know, what you dream, you've just got to.
Absolutely. Agreed.
And I was wondering, I mean, in your career, I think when you're in a performance related, I mean, I suppose you are in everything really, but in terms of like your performance is directly related to how you're feeling on the day, probably what you've eaten, like emotional things.
Yeah.
And I wondered, I mean, when we spoke beforehand, you mentioned that you bombed out at one of your first major champs, and you kind of had this, like, how did that feel? And, you know, what was the result of that?
So I remember my first ever championships, you know, when I talk about major championships, I was 14 and 15 years old. It was English schools, which for every young person that does athletics as a under 18, under 19, that's their first journey, going to English schools. And I was ranked number one in the country. I was very optimistic. And, you know, at that age as well, you feel like, yeah, man, you know what? I'm kicking ass here. I'm doing good, you know. But sometimes that can overspill into a little bit of arrogance. And I rocked up there feeling really great. 3 no jumps, 2 years on the trot. And I cried so badly. And I said, I will never, ever go to a major championships and bomb out again. But that just, it was a bit of embarrassment. You know, I was number one in the country. How could I not even go there and get a medal? Let alone I didn't even make it through the qualifying rounds. And that it was such a deep lesson, you know, to learn that actually, in essence, what lessons did I learn from it? Well, I learned that actually you can never be too sure about yourself. You know, you've got to go in there switched on. You can't let arrogance get in your way. And sometimes it does with young people. You know, it does. And with older people too. Sometimes they're too cocksure, you know. So for me, you know, it was a massive lesson to me. And actually, I've never bombed out at a major championships. I have bombed out since then. I did bomb out after that, but not at a major championships. But I took away lessons. And I think it's about, you know, when we talk about failure, Susie, you know, I think you have to fail in order to learn. And the best lessons are learned through failure.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And honestly, I always speak about this. And I also think as well, we're continuously like work in progress.
Absolutely. You know, my gosh,
always
we are.
Improvements be made.
Absolutely. Every single day. And that was, you know, I know we're going off piste a little bit here, so I will just mention this quickly. I've just got my brand new website up, which is looking fantastic, and I love it and everything else. But I'm just starting to write some blogs. So I've got to start writing blogs and uploading them and blah, blah, blah. And I was so nervous. And even though my web lady has taught me through it, I managed to go in there and change something. And I was like, oh my God, well, I'm getting it. And I went inside to my husband. I said, Matt, I managed to get into my website, into my blog and change things. And he's like, Mish, well done. Because he knows that's a big barrier for me, you know. And why is it a barrier? It's a barrier of fear of failure, of me not being able to do it, of me going in there and erasing everything, you know. So just, it is about work in progress. And it's small little steps in small little areas that you'd be surprised how much it can uplift you as a human being.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think as well, when you're doing, I mean, a career like yourself, I suppose there are positions and points whereby people bomb out, or where, you know, I feel awful for these sports people who have injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it sets them back for 6 months. And how do you think that kind of the conversation around mental health is in that industry and protecting people after something like that happens? Because if you invest everything into something and then shit hits the fan.
Absolutely.
Like, what's the kind of, is there a lot of support there and that kind of stuff?
I'm sure there's a lot of support. Back in our day, there wasn't as much support, you know, but you're talking, that's, you know, I retired 2006, you're talking, you know, that's 14 years ago. So there wasn't as much support then, you know. Of course you had your coaches around you and you had your psychologists as well. But I'm sure there's even more support nowadays. But sometimes as well, it's about, you know, digging deeper into the individual. So not just saying, oh hard luck, well, you know, really unlucky next time. This, because that person then takes that feeling away with them, home with them.
Yeah.
And who knows how they're feeling? And you know, you've worked for years and years and years. And I often say to people, when you're talking about the Olympic Games, you're not talking about you just rock up today and you can go to Olympic Games tomorrow. It's years after years. It's 4 years, 8 years, 12 years of preparation, you know, for a lot of people, not for all, but for a lot of people to make it to that level and then to blow up, to bomb out. At that stage, it's absolutely devastating. And the knock-on effect it can then have on your mental health. And then you lose sponsors, you lose confidence in yourself, the phone stops ringing. That's when things spiral out of control.
I can only imagine. And I think as well, if there's more awareness around that topic and about
absolutely.
Really tapping into people's emotional like support, it will actually affect their performance in a really positive way as well.
Absolutely. And I think we all as human beings want to be, the one thing we all want as human beings, support.
So important. And I feel like you're
absolutely,
for someone like you, I mean, we've spoken about your mum just briefly, but previously when we spoke, your mum said, apparently your mum, well, you told me, is the most selfless, amazing, supportive person in the whole world.
Absolutely. My mama, my mummy. Oh, boy. You know, and I hope that I can give back to my three kids what my mother's given to me and my brothers. And, I can't talk for my brothers, actually. I'm sure she's given them loads, but and they've all got their individual experiences. But for me, my mum is just... And you know what it is? It comes down to, Susie, she's made me believe that I can do anything.
Yeah.
And she's also made me believe that even if I don't do everything, she's still bloody proud of me.
Mm.
You know, the Bowdoin shoot was up there the other day and she was like, Michelle, I absolutely love the pictures of you and your family. I'm so proud of, you know, what you've achieved. And but she's been like this every single step of my journey, Susie.
Oh, she sounds like
every
I want to
single
meet her,
step
Michelle.
Of my, honestly, Susie, she's the, I mean, you know, every step of the journey, you know, she's so, so immensely proud of me. You know, she looked at my website, which is Michelle Griffith Robinson, OLY.co.uk. And she couldn't quite get in there because I put the OLY on the end and she's getting a bit kerfuffled. And she's like, Mish, I found it. Oh, my God, you look so beautiful. Just everything. She just fills me with so much confidence. She respects and adores me.
Oh, I think that's the thing is that you want to, like, we as humans, like, there's such a lack of confidence and we are capable of pretty much anything. I mean, within reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's just about surrounding yourself and finding people in your life who make you feel that way. Like, obviously, we're not going to fly
Susie,
tomorrow.
Amen. Amen, babe. Honestly, it's about, you've hit the nail on the head. Surrounding yourself with people that make you feel great, make you feel you can do anything within reason.
That's the thing.
So true, babe. So true. And that's it, you know. And that's why I say to people, surround yourself with uplifting, positive people. Equally, and for people that are listening, surround yourself with people that are going to let you know when you're wrong.
So important. So important.
Yeah. Make you know that actually the way you're behaving or da-da-da-da is not really great. And it makes me feel, it impacts me in this way.
Could not agree more. And I think there's a bit of a lack of that as well. And
of course,
And I'm very bad at it too. You know, I mean, I'm an incessant people pleaser, and maybe if something's upset me a bit, I tend to just keep my lips shut. And actually, yeah. I think roles reversed. I would actually quite like to know, because if I'd ever upset anyone in any way, and if
absolutely
something I could change, I would want to know, right?
I'd want to know, because how also as well, Susie. You know, one of my biggest things I say is, if you don't tell me, how will I know I'm making that error all the time?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm then becoming an enabler to bad behaviour.
Exactly. And we're not perfect, doesn't exist, you know?
No,
like I said, we're
it doesn't exist. And we mess up.
Exactly.
We do mess up. We do.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We're not robots, is what I said to my daughter, even up to yesterday. We're not robots. We make errors.
Yeah.
Chill, man. Chill. We make errors. But it's whether or not when we get pointed out that that's not necessarily how you made me feel and da-da-da-da, we say, okay, yeah, okay, I can see how I could have come across like that. I get that. Yeah.
And now, like, because obviously you're this amazing, I mean, you're a personal trainer, but you're also kind of a well-rounded, like, life coach, and you talk a lot about control and balance. And obviously your mum was extremely selfless and probably never did anything for herself and did everything for other people, which I'm sure now you're exactly the same. And I wanted to kind of, how do you protect yourself as well in that respect?
So I do a lot for people, and I tell you who's been fantastic for me, my husband Matt. My husband Matt says, Mish, you're taking on too much, and just be mindful of your energy. So I sometimes say, I use a phrase which I put a lot on social media, protecting your energy. And that is about finding time out for yourself to say, actually, no, this is too much. And sometimes, you know, with doing so much stuff online and, you know, being pulled in so many different directions, and trying to then, you know, be a fixer for situations, sometimes it can become overwhelm.
Yeah.
And then when it becomes too overwhelming, you actually feel that actually then you're depleted of any energy to give out. And I still have to always remember, you know, I've got 3 young kids. So I do have my life coach that I speak to. I've got a coach that I speak to. Alan, I speak to a lot. Alan Evans. And also on top of that, my husband, Matt, and then one of my closer friends, Marcia. I speak to Marcia a hell of a lot about just about life, and because she's in a lifestyle coaching for English Institute of Sport, and we've had that rapport for 33 years. We've been best friends. We get each other, we understand each other, and she also doesn't just put smoke up my ass. She tells me straight.
That's the thing, is I think there's such a pressure to be busy all the time and to do things for others, and we run ourselves dry, and then actually
absolutely
all the things that we care about, which is really giving and helping other people, then isn't possible anymore, because we just don't have the energy to do it. And it's
absolutely
like, you have to prioritize, I think, sometimes, which is really hard.
It's very hard. And you know, it's about finding what works for you. You know, I recently have just joined forces with another group of people, very like-minded, a group of health professionals, and we just set up a company called Vitalize. So I urge everybody to look into it. And it's about, you know, really looking into corporate companies and individuals who struggle, you know, whose glass is left completely saturated, nothing left in it, because they're constantly giving. And that's giving in the workplace, giving in relationships, but not giving to themselves.
That's the thing.
Not giving to yourselves. And it's crucial for us to. And I know we all get drawn into it, Susie, but it's about recognising. And I think you hit it there. Where do you find your, you know, your output, your input? Where do you get that from? Where do you get that lift from when you recognise that you're actually, you know, on your last leg, so to speak.
Do you find that that's something that you've kind of practiced and like gotten better at as you've gotten older, is taking time out for you?
Absolutely, Susie. And I think that, you know, you see a lot of trends on self-care and mindfulness and everything else. And I think it's come around, and it definitely has happened since I've been older. Mm. You know, when I was younger, I'd be like clubbing, training, raving, this, that, you know, bit more frivolous. Now I'm a lot more, and I'm going to say frivolous, so, you know, now I'm a lot more determined with what I'm doing and structured with what I'm doing with my life and my time. Mm. Because time is something that you can't pay for.
So true. And it's so precious as well. That's the other thing.
Precious. You can't pay for time, Susie. Yeah. You could have all the money in the world. You cannot pay for time.
Yeah.
You can't buy it back.
It's so, so true. And are you good at as well, like recognising, because honestly, you smashed it. Like, you've done so well. You've done so many things. And do you feel like you have, or are you still kind of, are you good at taking those moments and being like, yeah, like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
Good.
No, do you know what, Susie? I tell you what, in lockdown, you know, I've been so creative. And I said to Matt the other day, and my husband said to me the other day, Mish, you know, you've done bloody well, you know, babe. And I said, do you know what, Matt? I've done well because I'm married well as well.
Oh.
So I married somebody that supports me and drives me and challenges me and is the biggest fan of me. Matt champions me. Mish, you've done, and I said, no, I do sit back and think, gosh, you know, I've created such a big online coaching platform. I'm busy all the time with life coaching people and personal training people online. I've got a brilliant set of people around me. You know, I've got a couple of ventures that, you know, I can't say yet, but, you know, things, you know, big brands that are really interested in me. And I've created this myself, you know. There are times, you know, in the last couple of weeks where I thought, God, I'm feeling good about what I've achieved, Susie. I'm going to be honest with you. And that's despite my athletics career. I've got to be honest. That's despite my athletics career.
That's because of your hard work and just like carrying on and pushing through.
Yeah, babe. You know what, Susie? I'm going to own that. It is, babe. And one of the things, you know, I've got an office here that, you know, has got everything in it. And a couple of things that I put up, and, you know, in front of me now, I can see it. And I put little post-it notes, celebrate your success, be kind to yourself. Another one I've got up there says, give thanks, gratitude, you're your best friend, you know, different things. And all these times I look up and I see them, I'm like, yeah, actually, I'm going to celebrate my success today.
And it sounds like, I'm sorry, I've actually heard this story before because I couldn't not find out. But I want you to tell everyone how you met your husband, because he sounds amazing.
God, yeah. This is the good old chestnut, this one, as they say.
It gave me goosebumps when I heard it the first time. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was with Marcia again. And she's probably sick of me using her name, actually. But we have a long history, me and Marcia, as friends. A very special bond as well. Aww. And I guess we was at the Commonwealth Games in 2002. We walked into a exceptionally busy dining hall for breakfast. And I see this beautiful looking black guy sitting with a group of white guys on a table. And I say to Marcia, Marcia, I'm going up to that guy and I'm going to marry him. She's like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go and tell him. She said, no, you can't. And I'm like, I can. Again, what I say, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst?
Oh, I love that. What good timing.
What's the worst that can happen? Mm. You know? And so I go over to him and I say, hi, I'm Michelle. He says, yeah, I know who you are. I saw your ass in the paper yesterday. And it was a Gwyneth Paltrow shot that I was part of arts to do. So I was in the papers the day before. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. Felt a bit awkward, but never mind. And I just said, could I have your number? And I think after talking and stuff, I ascertained that he wasn't going to give me his number. And he said, because he was in something already, a relationship already. So he took my number and just checked it out an hour later to make sure it was a legitimate number. But 3 months he disappeared for. And then we got together October 31st, 2002. And the rest is history. We fell pregnant very quickly within the first 3 months, you know, where we said, right, should we try and see if we can have a baby? We knew it was right. And we're celebrating 15 years married September the 4th.
Oh, my God. Are you just, that's not only is that the best story, but I think now as well, the way that you talk about him, and I do think this is so essential, is when you're with someone, he's like your teammate. You guys champion each other.
Yeah, Robert,
I love that.
I champion him. Mm. I champion my husband. My husband's an awesome guy. And don't get me wrong, Susie, you know, for people that are listening out there, you know, and I really want them to see how authentic I am. We've been through some times where I think, what the hell am I doing married to you? You know, what am I, you know, because you've got to keep it real, you know, oh my God, is this it? You know, is this it? But we have grown so much together as husband and wife and as individuals. You know, my husband's now going to be enrolling on a PhD. And he's a very bright guy. He's very driven, you know, and we champion each other. And all we really want, you know, ideally is to stay in love with each other, grow together and be very good examples for our three children and everyone else around us.
And what kind of lessons are you, I mean, I guess, like, you have your two lovely girls and then your little spoiled son.
I know, so my little bubbox, don't. My little piece of man.
Even the way you speak about him, I've got a youngest brother and my mum loves him.
Oh, you see, we're wrong, you know, we are wrong. And I tell you what, my best friends, Denise Lewis and Caroline and Jackie, they tease me, you know. And Caroline Stead's been one of my best friends since I was 11 or 12 years old. And they all had boys before me. And I was like, why are you lot so clucky over boys? What's up with you? They're like, you'll see. And I'm embarrassed to say that. I had to go back and say, guys, I'm sorry, I own it. Yeah, you're right. It's a difference with the boy. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But it's my little piece of boy.
What kind of lessons are you trying to instill in them? Because I guess the girls, are they 16, around that age, aren't they, in their teens?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 13 and 16. So for my girls, you know, I think, and this is obviously a very crucial lesson here, is to teach them the confidence.
Yeah.
Confidence to go ahead and do what they want, number one. To find their voice, use their voice as their own platform.
Mm.
So that's the two lessons with my girls. I'm like, girls, you know what? Go for what you want. You've got to work hard. You really have to work hard. And, you know, with this whole thing with the big, big movement with Black Lives Matter and having two black girls as well,
yes.
You know, who want to go and, you know, really take over the world. I'm saying to them, you have to use what you can to keep propelling forward. You know, you have to. And they are, you know, they're fortunate children. They're very bright, very academic. They're exceptionally sporty. They're good at music, good at drama. And we've created that. So the lessons learned are we've been able to give them the opportunities so that they can go out into the real world and really, really shine.
And make changes.
And make changes, make positive changes. And for my son, and I say this, Susie, with, you know, almost with my heart full, for him to see his father, a black man, as a, you know, as a potentially a headmaster one day, or, you know, Matthew's, you know, that's his ambition, to become a headmaster. He's head of a boarding school now, then he'll be deputy head, then head, potentially a headmaster. But also as well, he'll potentially have his PhD in 3 to 4 years. For Elijah to see his father up there is crucial in terms of role modelling. You know, and that's the lessons learned. Matthew wants to be his son to say, I can do anything.
That's the
thing.
Because
the person I see is my dad that can do anything.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And that's the messages that, you know, I'm key to share, the lessons that I want to share to my kids. You can do anything. Mommy didn't become an Olympian because her name was Michelle. She became an Olympian because she worked hard. Daddy didn't become a player to play rugby for Wales, yeah, because his name is Matthew. It's because of tenacity. It's because he had that grit, determination. He was resilient. He was willing to bounce back. And most importantly, he stuck to what he wanted to do.
Michelle, I want to be a part of your family.
Please, Susie, baby, anytime you're ready, come to North Devon. We'll wake it up on the surfboards.
It's just, and I also heard the other day that you might be doing a YouTube channel as a family as well.
Yes.
So I was like,
yes,
I'm going to be subscribing to that.
Yes, we're going to be doing that. We've just done our first family video a few weeks ago. And because everything's going on here, we're just making sure it's the right time. But we're going to be called the Fit Family Robinsons.
Amazing.
On YouTube. And we've already doing some stuff with the Qatar Olympic Sports Museum 321. Just showing little snippets of keeping fit, keeping healthy. Me and Matthew would do a lot more on mental health, the benefits of keeping fit and healthy as a young person. So, you know, we're big on looking after people's well-being.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
The 360 approach.
Absolutely. 360 approach is huge, Susie. The unity as a family. You know, in lockdown, we spent 8 weeks dialing through on FaceTime to Matthew's grandmother in Jamaica and praying every Sunday after tea. And whether you're religious or not, just that connection every Sunday between 6 and 7, every Sunday for 8 weeks. I can't tell you how much it filled my cup, filled Matthew's cup, but also his 93-year-old grandmother's cup.
Amazing. That's the thing. I think that this I mean, as awful as the pandemic has been and everything, and as well, like, you know, there's been the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot has happened in the last couple of months.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
But,
oh, gosh.
I mean, I can't speak on behalf of you, but it sounds like this, but it's, like, brought a huge sense of unity amongst your family as well. And
absolutely. It's been huge on so many levels, you know. I wrote down on one of the articles that that I've done recently that we sat down and we've had over 50 meals together. You know, in a month.
Yeah.
Whereas before we'd be lucky to have 10 in a month because everyone's doing netball, athletics, hockey. Elijah's going out for swimming lessons. You know, Matt's on duty. I'm working. I'm doing a podcast. And it's just brought us in so much closer. And my fear, and I'm sure a lot of people out there listening will say the same thing. My fear, Susie, is us to go back into normal with inverted commas with that busy chasing rat racing life and we lose focus of what is really important.
What really matters
is having a support system, whether it's your family, whether you're married, whether you're on your own, but having a support system and a network that makes you feel secure and thrive.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think we're so in tune to living life at 110 miles per hour. And actually,
absolutely,
it's crazy how this one pandemic was needed to slow everyone down and just make you think,
my gosh.
Priorities.
Absolutely. And back to the company that we're just about to launch called Vitalize, we speak a lot about reset, reframe, re-energize.
Mm.
That's three of our things that we really push for. And it's about people literally look where you are now and pause, breathe, then go. Because the rat race we were on before, the chasing the money, chasing our tails, chasing the next thing, chase. When it came down to it, that didn't come into play with lockdown.
Mm. So there has to be a limit. Otherwise, we're striving and we're going to constantly feel unfulfilled if we're just on this rat race.
Absolutely, Susie. Susie, you're bang on it, babe. Absolutely. You're so bang on it. It's exactly right. If we continue to keep going, we often think, so what's next then? So what's next? It's almost like a constant adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
So there are no limits. So then that's why people then, you know, that's why people then do go into mental health issues because it's just constant.
Mm. And I think what you were saying earlier about your mum, when you were first kind of, you know, you said, I don't want to go to university and I want to take this time. And she gave you 6 months. I think it's also about like being a bit logical about these things and giving yourself that structured break. Like I will sometimes say to myself, you know, this day I'm actively not going to do anything, or I'm going to take time to reflect back, or and I think there needs to be so much more of that scheduling in time for reflection.
Absolutely.
And stopping.
Absolutely. Scheduling in time for reflection and stopping is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband's been on a journey since about January before lockdown, where he goes out every morning for about 35 minutes. He does a 30-minute walk, just a 30-minute brisk walk with the dog, and 5 minutes of mindfulness on a bench, exactly the same bench every morning. And I've been going out with him on a few mornings. And I said to him, Matt, I can honestly understand why this has been so important to you. Because it just allows you to just say, right, let me set myself up for the day.
Mm.
And, you know, think about, you know, let me reflect on. And just that quiet time where nobody's around, no kids aren't awake. And it's just you and nature.
I think, yeah.
And one of the things I really promote as a life coach is stop, look and listen.
Oh, I love that. See, that's one of the first things someone tells you when you're learning how to cross a road, isn't it? Stop, look and listen. But actually,
there you go.
You could apply it to every single part of life.
Absolutely, my darling. Stop, look, listen, take notice.
And if you had any advice to your younger self now, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. To my younger self now would be, appreciate I was a very big busted young girl. I had massive, massive boobs and I was so self-conscious of them, Susie, like ridiculously.
Mm.
And it would be to embrace every inch of my big boobs. don't let it affect me that it did, that I was so self-conscious of it. It would be just embrace every single inch of who I am. I was thin, I was long-legged, I had big boobs, I had a small head with big hair. It would be to embrace every single bit of who I was then.
Mm.
Because I'm sure those years of self-doubt it wasn't a positive way forward.
Mm.
And and that came down to comparing yourself to others. You know, there was much more curvy girls than me, you know, much thicker set girls than me. And I was a tiny size 4, you know, but I was 5'7". For 8.
That's the thing, and it restricts you as well. It
becomes a barrier.
Right.
It becomes a barrier.
It becomes a barrier.
So, you know, it becomes a barrier for you. So that's what I would really say to my younger self, just embrace every single bit of who you are, show the world who you are, and just be bloody kind to yourself and to others.
Someone once said to me, you might as well be yourself because everybody else is already taken. And
boom,
I love
boom,
that.
Boom.
I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say uniquely me.
Yes. So true. I think like for me as well, I really struggled with my body image when I was around 18, you know, 17, 18, mm-hmm. 19. And that's the thing. And I just look back and I think, God, was I crazy? And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and we're going to get to 30 and start to have wrinkles and wish that we didn't or whatever it might be. And, you know, every decade comes with a new thing to worry about. And actually, it's just about, it's hard and it's much easier said than done, but you've got to just champion yourself the whole way through.
You've got to champion yourself. And, you know, I said recently on another podcast of, which I just said, be your own best friend.
Yeah.
And I still maintain it. I say it every day. You know, look in that mirror and what do you see? See somebody that you would turn around and compliment. Because generally, if you're a really good friend to somebody else, you'd always compliment your friend. If I saw you, I'd say, Susie, I love your dress. Oh, my God, I love your hair. But yet you struggle to do that to yourself.
Yeah, I know.
How interesting.
You've got to write it down. Write it down.
How interesting. You know, how interesting that, you know. So when I'm turning around and say, I put on something and my girls go, oh, Mum, look at you. You're on one again. I'm like, I love this dress on me. I love it. Oh, my God. And I said, because that's how I would be if I saw one of my friends in it.
Yeah, that's so true. You have to speak to yourself as you would
speak to
others.
Speak to yourself as you speak to others. Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, Mish, that's been such a good note to end the first half on. Thank you so much. You're such an inspiration and your words of wisdom.
Oh, darling, thank you.
It's honestly like...
Thank you, baby.
I heard that you might be writing a little book with lots of inspiring snippets.
Yeah, that's my little snippet. So I'm hoping that if anybody out there knows somebody that wants to publish my little 15 motivational quotes for 50 years old, please, please, please reach out to me because that's... I want to make it happen and I want to inspire other people, inspire other women. Most importantly, I want to inspire women and girls.
Mm, you have already, though, and you will again.
Thank you.
Honestly.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, babe. If I can have a little book that people can put in there, just a small little book, I can even see it, same size as my iPhone, that people can just snip through and just read a daily reminder of, you know, how they should feel for that day, then... I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Exactly. Manifestation. Like you said that you're going to do it.
Manifestation.
It's going to happen.
Put it out to the universe.
On that note, we'll just finish off with your kind of five quick questions. So do you have a recommended book?
Yep. My recommended book is I Know What I Want For Sure by Oprah Winfrey. And the one that I keep going back to would be The Secret.
Yeah.
I keep going back to that years and years. And I'm currently going through the Stephen Covey 7 Habits of Successful People.
Oh, yes. I've heard. Apparently, this is amazing.
Yeah. It's really, really good. And I'm currently reading, which is really, really enlightening. I'm reading Candice Braithwaite's book as well, which is really enlightening. And it's nice to see a black woman up there getting the space and taking up the space that's so deservedly and needed out there as well on the bookshelves.
I couldn't agree more. I've listened to her a lot recently and she is amazing and she deserves every single inch and more of those bookshelves.
Absolutely.
And what is your favourite condiment? I think I could guess, but I'm going to let you tell me.
Ah, God, you know what? I don't think you'll guess this one, you know. Susie, my favourite condiment for me... I've got a couple, Susie.
Okay, go on. So,
All right. I'm going to narrow it down. I'm
going to
say,
I like
a sweet chili jam.
Oh, me too. That's my favourite.
I like a sweet chili jam and I like Incona hot pepper sauce.
Ooh, is that from Barbados or is that slightly Jamaican?
It's more like a Caribbean hot pepper sauce.
Yum.
Yeah. And Kona hot pepper sauce. But sweet chili jam. I love a sweet chili jam.
Me too. With some cheese, whatever. I put on everything.
Oh, don't, Susie. With some cheese, Susie. Cheese and a little bit of chutney on the side. Oh, baby.
I now get it.
I can taste it now.
I get it on subscription from Amazon.
I love it, love it, love it. So yeah, that'd be my condiments.
Okay, amazing. And if you could, actually, you can choose a Devon-based restaurant, but what's your kind of favourite restaurant that you would recommend?
Favourite restaurant that I would recommend. Well, down here, I'm going to be a big shout out to Block, which is our restaurant down in Barnstable.
Block.
Because we do need to be supporting much more local businesses. Mm-hmm. So that would be my restaurant down here. But my favourite restaurant in London. I think at the moment, the last time I went, and I am due to go back again, actually, I'd say Hakkasan.
Oh, it's so good. It's delicious. Hakkasan. Okay.
Hakkasan. I love, love.
That's a really good recommendation. And yeah. If you could have, I mean, well, I'm going to ask you who your mentor is, because I'm guessing it's your mama, but there might be someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, my mentor will be my mummy. The lessons I've learnt mostly from my mum and person that inspires me, who I look up to. Yes, my mummy, man. Oh. My mum.
And if you could have dinner with three people, alive or dead, who would they be?
Three people, alive or dead. Alive. Beyonce.
Fangirl.
Michelle Obama. She's probably top of my list is Michelle Obama. And I think my third person would be, I think she'd be fun to have dinner with, would be Rihanna.
Talk about some powerful ladies around a dinner table. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely. Finally, your favourite travel destination.
Favourite travel destination has got to be, oh gosh, I haven't even been to my favourite travel destination. I'm sure I'm going to love it. I want to take my husband to Thailand.
Oh.
So, and because he loves Muay Thai, and I'd like to just book him in and do his Muay Thai classes whilst I sat in this fairy tale, reading my books and having Thai food. But favourite destination that I've been to so far has got to be Jamaica.
Oh, I want to go.
Jamaica, Susie, the vibe is amazing. And the people are, you know, they're resilient. They bounce back. They're creative. And the food is sensational. The beaches are beautiful. And there's just a wicked vibe around the place.
Selling it so well. That's definitely hot on my list now.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, me.
Very, very nice.
Thank you so much. You're honestly such an inspiration.
Sweetheart.
And I'm so grateful to have met you and to be able to share your insight with the listeners.
Absolutely, darling. Thank you so much for having me on, Susie. God bless you guys. God bless your listeners. And guys, most importantly, do you, be you, and be kind to yourself.
Oh, thanks, Mish.
Take care, sweetheart.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Flory. If you enjoyed the podcast, I would be so grateful if you could please rate, review, and subscribe. Apparently, it makes it easier for people to find us. Have a good day. Bye.